Good Friday morning, everyone. It's hard to believe it's here already, but this is the day the Lord has made, and we'll have another day of classes and half day of activities together, and as we say goodbye. I want to thank everyone who has helped with the Bible school in any number of ways, but before I do that, I really think we owe a great deal of thanks to our Heavenly Father for all of His blessings on us this week. As far as I know, we've had no real disasters. I haven't heard of anybody terribly sick, and you know, although the weather's been a little warm, we've managed to do most of the things we wanted to. Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise his works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. And certainly that's what we try to do here, and it'd probably be good if we each started every day this way, to think of all the blessings we've received, and to have faith that he will help us meet the challenges that are ahead of us. Okay, I would like to provide our official thanks to all of the adult teachers for their efforts, as well as the young adult teachers and our speakers. Also, often unnoticed is the work of those who teach the younger ones, but of course that's a chief part of a Bible school, and I know Sister Thelma has to work pretty hard some years to get all the teachers rounded up. So we greatly appreciate your efforts, and greatly appreciate those who volunteer to help in one way or another. And of course, those who helped with activities in various ways, we thank. And all of you for attending, as well as all of our young people. I'm not sure I can include, I'm not sure I can include my grandsons fully in this, but the young people have been very good this year. Maybe I'm a little more conscious of their imperfections. I will put in a word for Brother Jim and the Advocate. They are in need of a bit larger list of articles that they might use. So if you've got something of interest that you could write up, I know Brother Jim and his associate editors do a great job. I sent one in that I knew had some real flaws in it. And I got it back, and there were some extra verses in there that were really quite good, Jim. So I do appreciate that. So if not, we'll ask Brother Mike Hawkins to come forward and open with prayer. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. Hymn number 2. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve in truth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Hymn number 2, after which we'll ask Brother Mike Hawkins to come forward and open with prayer.
The most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hallowed be thy great and holy name. Lord, at this time we humbly approach your throne of mercy to thank you for the many gifts and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us for this time spent in fellowship with those of like precious faith, too. And those lessons that you have given us from our speakers, from our teachers, who have lifted the truth from the scriptures, that it may edify us to mature in spirit, for wisdom and instruction, and for correction We pray that you continue to bless us, to be with us in our journeys as we return to our homes and our ecclesias, that we may be renewed with this fellowship that we received this week. We pray that you forgive us for our sins and to correct us in measure when we err. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, the opportunity that it affords us. We seek his return and the restoration of his kingdom. For the peace of your people, the peace of Jerusalem, please give us the strength to remain in our faith till that day he comes and we may bear witness that your glory fills this earth. We do ask all these things with the only name given, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our brother Murray Chisholm will bring us the word of exhortation this morning. His subject is our vision, and he's asked that we read from Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Micah 4. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit, every man, under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Brother Murray.
Well, good morning, everyone. So I know you've heard a lot of thanks given from this platform, but it's really deserved. And so for everyone in this general area who has helped put this Bible school on, all of those of us who have traveled here and have benefited from this week together, we really, really do appreciate all the time and the effort that you have put into organizing this event. About 2 years ago, I had a health issue, and everything went okay, guided by our Heavenly Father, I'm sure. And in the first few months involved, when I was involved in that, I received a boatload of cards and well wishes, emails, phone calls. I even received a quilt from a Sunday school class in San Antonio. And I just wanted to let all you folks know that writing your name on a card and sending it out to someone in the household who is having difficulties in whatever aspect of their life it may be is really, really appreciated by them. And even the young folks in here should not hesitate, even though you see a lot of the fossils up here putting their name on these cards. It doesn't let you off the hook in regards not to put your name on these cards. And also, I think Brother Jonathan mentioned the other day that, it wasn't mentioned this morning, but the middle or the end of October, we have a gathering up in the Hamilton area. And if you look on the Advocate events calendar for the year, the dates are on there, and we encourage everyone to try to make an effort to come up to the cool Canada. These first five verses of this fourth chapter of Micah are very, very interesting. They lay out for us how God has and will deal with what he has created personally and also nationally. All that was is now, and will come to pass was created or brought about by God. For read and read about this in the prophet in Isaiah 44 at verse 24, where he states, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." He made all things. He did it alone. He required no counsel from anyone. He or his angels spent more time bringing this about than any other task that we read about in the scriptures. And why is it? Why did the Almighty spend so much time making what we enjoy or what we can see around us every day? Well, John tells us the reason why the Almighty has done this. And this is contained in Revelation, the 4th chapter, at verse 11, where John states, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and this is the reason, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." From the very beginning, he made everything very good, and then wanted to observe what he had made, would do with what he had done, and how they would or would not appreciate what had taken place, and how they, you and I, would express our appreciation of what we see, or else show no interest in it. So after the Almighty created all that we can see, he observed to see what was going on and what was taking place in this earth. And this is why he did it. This is what he's doing. The psalmist David states, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that would understand and seek God." David, along the same lines, writes, "God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God." Tasks and jobs, we can say, are done for one to be able to appreciate the end result. There have been moments, we must realize, in this 6,000-year plan of God, where he could take some joy in what his servants had done. And we can all recall a number of servants in the scriptures where God took pleasure in them. Abraham, David, Job, Isaac, Jeremiah, Paul, James, and especially his son. But percentage-wise, it has been very, very thin. He didn't want the scale to be so out of balance with those who would serve him. Luke 12:32 states, "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And Peter states in 2 Peter 3:9 that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him. He is happily, brothers and sisters, going to welcome his sons and daughters into his kingdom. We have all heard about the golden rule and the golden thread that is in the Bible that runs from Genesis to Revelation, namely our Lord. Another one from Genesis to Revelation, not golden, but a thread, part of the plan of God, was to give his creation the option of choices. From the very start, to obey is better than fine gold. It has been mentioned already this week, but we all remember when Joshua told the nation to choose in Joshua 24, verse 15, whom they would serve. Paul states that the good I would, I do not. Too often, I have a hard time in thinking about things that are not a plus to us. It's a choice to put aside the ways of the flesh and to dwell upon those things that will be positive, that can be positive of each part of our character. It was, if one was to write an obituary of mankind, I think Paul wrote it out very well when he stated in Romans 1 these words about the society that we dwell in these days and that has been in existence for many years. Romans 1, starting at verse 21. Because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Choices. Our track record in making important choices is very, very weak. To be positive, those that have accepted the invitation to become part of God's family made the right choice. So we can ask ourselves the question, where does the alternative lead? Is what, if one does not choose God's way, what options are open to us? Well, Matthew wrote in Matthew 7, at verses 13 and 14, talking about the choices that mankind has to make, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein at. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We all have to realize, and we probably do, that this society, this environment that we find ourselves in, is going to pass away. It is going to be no more. There was an event that took place on April the 15th, 1912. Does anybody know what it was? The Titanic. What is a word that was associated with that great ship?
Unsinkable.
This ship was unsinkable. It was going to sail forever. In 2 Peter 3, at verse 4, we can read basically the attitude of mankind and the attitude of all those people that were on that boat. For it reads in 2 Peter 3, verse 4, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of time." So let's relate in a crude way the society that we find ourselves in today versus that evening of April the 15th, 1912. So there you are. You find yourself on the deck of that ship as it's starting to list. People are running around. It's complete bedlam that's going on. And someone says to you, "Here's a life jacket. There's a space for you. Get in that boat." And your response is, "No, I want to hear the end of this musical piece." It's ridiculous that an attitude would be taken by some who decided not to try to save themselves, not to put that life preserver on to try to save themselves. And we all, brothers and sisters and friends, have a life preserver right here in this book. The information that is found in this book can save each one of us. So the option was, if you don't get in that lifeboat, what's the end result for you? The other fact is, if you're in the boat, stay in the boat. Don't get out of the boat. It's really, really soft if you were in that boat to get out of it, because the options available to you, if you took that action, was nil. You were going to perish. And without the life jacket that we can receive from the Word of God, it's a very, very sad future for mankind. Well, that evening, the lights went out, it became dark, and the unsinkable ship went down. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. I think it's interesting for us older ones to reflect in regards to trying to explain to the younger folks how bad things are and how God's plan is unfolding and how we can put our confidence in what He has said. If you look at 1947, which we talk about a lot, and rightly so, in regards to the reestablishment of the nation of Israel, and you take the 4,000 years of the Old Testament and the 2,000 years of the New Testament, the time from the establishment of the nation of Israel until now is approximately 1% of that time frame. It's a very, very important event that took place. It's a major event that took place. But there's probably very, very few people in this room who were alive when that event took place or can remember the event taking place, even if you were alive. However, to try to instill upon the younger folks in this room the importance of the fact that this society is coming to an end, and we need to do something about our position and where we stand before our Creator as this thing goes down. The teenagers, 20 and 30-year-old in this group, the things that you have to deal with, you've been hearing about the nation of Israel all your life, but it's been a reality all your life. So I think it's hard for you to relate how important a fact that was. But you folks can see on a daily basis of how this society is going downhill and how there's no remedy for it. I bet probably every one of you in this room who's a teenager or even younger or in the 20s have had to go through a lockdown scenario as far as your schools go. And what takes place is if there's a threat in your buildings, which in previous generation didn't exist. The family unit. The family unit in my time used to consist of mom, dad, and the kids and Spot. Nowadays, the family unit is such a mishmash group of individuals, it's even hard to describe it as a family unit. And this is something that you unfortunately have to rub your shoulders against it a lot as you're endeavoring to go to school or in the workplace, because it's the norm these days. The language of the day, the potty mouth expressions that are a daily occurrence that all of our young folks have to deal with, is very, very unfortunate for us older ones, because we didn't have to go through it to the extent that you do. It's just the general language of the day. The morals of the day. Every man does what's right in his own eyes. We all know it. And unfortunately, the decisions that folks make in this world and how they live their lives are not a plus. Evolution. You've all been taught in schools in regards to the fact that evolution is basically how things came about. And the idea that it was made by somebody, it was created by somebody, it's being directed by somebody, is foreign to the environment today. As we, each one of us, walk with God on our side, down this narrow path, which hopefully, with God's grace, will lead to a place in his kingdom, if we are so blessed. Something that each one of us have is a built-in filter. We can weed out those things that shouldn't be things that we're thinking about. To get rid of some of the trash, unfortunately, that we each think about at certain times. And I think a good filter for us to ask ourselves the question is, if I had to say what I'm thinking right now, would that be acceptable? Could I say that to other folks around me, what I'm thinking? And if you couldn't say what you're thinking, then you should possibly not be thinking it. We need to think of positive things. We need to replace them with what Paul stated and what also has been said this week, taken from Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, meditate or think or reflect on these things. I gave Brother Bill the topic that I wanted to deal with this morning on our vision. But I want to change that topic now. I want to readdress it as your vision. Your vision. Every single person in this room, I hate giving ages, but from high school and up, you should have a vision. Brother Zach this week showed us a picture of the temple. Brother Larry this week showed us a picture of the garden and how the earth will revert back to how it was back then. We each need to have a vision. And I don't really care how old you are. You need to have a vision of what the future kingdom age is going to be like. You can think about, as I just mentioned, the temple. You can think about family members who you'll be blessed to see in the kingdom age. You can think about Bible students, Bible servants of God contained in these pages that we hopefully will have an opportunity to sit down and talking to them and listening to them. That could be a vision. We can have a vision of peace on this earth. As we just read, men will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. We can have a vision of all the hospitals that are going to be closed down. Because we're told that when the kingdom age exists, a child will die 100 years old. So we're not going to need the medical system that we have now because the diseases, to a great, great deal, are going to be taken away with. When Brother Owens and Brother Griffith are out on their tractor plowing their fields, they can think of a time when they're not going to have to get rid of the weeds and all the nasty things that they have to deal with because the production that is going to be coming from the lands is going to be almost uncollectible. It's going to be so vast and so plentiful. If you have a vision and it's starting to fade a little bit, you need to turn your dimmer switch back up. You need to put it with a 100-watt bulb versus a 40-watt bulb. If we don't have a vision, you need to think of a vision. You need to take yourself from here and put you in Israel and how the kingdom is going to be set up and what's going to be going on during the kingdom age. We all need a vision. So my challenge for us all is to think about this vision that hopefully we'll all have. Because we need to reflect on the fact that this is what I want to be a part of. What we find outside these doors, this is not what we want the future to be. We want the future to be something that is spoken about many times in the scriptures. About a place of peace and righteousness, happiness, joy, when justice will be the order of the day. This is what I want to be a part of. This, everyone, is not a challenge for each one of us, but it should be part of our DNA, part of our package. We need to be able to put ourselves into whatever vision we have through God's grace. And it's really interesting when I was talking earlier about choices. When you read these first five verses of Micah here, oh, I gotta finish. When you read these first five verses of Micah here, people in the world during the kingdom age are still going to be making choices. And they're going to be making incorrect choices. Because the Almighty here, our elder brother, is going to be passing judgment upon them. So obviously they're making choices that aren't in agreement with what he wants us to do. So the choices that we make in our lives are very, very important. Finally, I'd like to close with reading of this fifth verse, which is our theme for the week. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we, brothers and sisters, hopefully, will walk in the name of our Lord, our God, forever and ever. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Murray. We all do need a vision and should have a vision of that coming kingdom age of peace and righteousness. We will now dismiss for our classes. We'll reconvene here about 12:10, at least everybody in this building, if they would come on down, and we'll start our classes in 2 or 3 minutes here.